battle's scarred and getting long in the tooth. Desperate and hungry and got nothing to lose. Yeah, I'm alone.
I've been chased, I've been bit.
Yeah, I'm alone.
They like to shoot at me, but they
Radio calling. Lone Wolf Radio calling. This is Lone Wolf Radio, and this is Terrible Tommy here in the bunker in sunny Southern California. On this is November the 15th, 2017, and it's Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day. Well, let's dig around here and see what's in the news. This is an interesting one. New software can pinpoint hate groups, whatever that is. Radicalization sites, that's what they say. Well, a fascinating trait of mass murderers and terrorists is that they often leave a lengthy manifesto detailing the impetus for their actions. Those diatribes are like gold to UConn, UConn operations, an information management professor, Oguchiwawawa. I can't pronounce it, some kind of a foreign Asian name. Hugo Itudo. He has used them to create software that can search mainstream websites as well as dark web to help identify websites that espouse radical terrorist ideologies, encouraging people to do harm. That sounds pretty much like the Democrat and Republican parties to me. I'm interested in the ideologies that could drive people to commit such terrible acts, like the United States government does in the Middle East, who joined the faculty of UConn Stanford this semester. He believes that scrutinizing potential terrorists is only half the equation. Governments also need to attack the propaganda that persuades potential terrorists to act. Well, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Gumu, or whatever your name is, governments are the prime exporters and creators of violence and terrorism. It's called state terrorism. We just put up, agreed to put up, what, $700,000? No, $700 billion for new armaments and planes and tanks and ships. What are they for? They're not just for pretty. They're not just to sit there and nothing. They're to kill people, man. Anyhow, back to Etudo. Let's see where he's at here. Etudo says it's well known that terrorist groups are increasingly using the internet as a platform for dissemination of radical, violent ideologies. Well, everybody does. Everybody uses the internet. You're just waking up to that? We started way back in the 80s. The internet has also become a breeding ground for potential lone wolf terrorists. Individuals who commit acts of terror inspired by the ideological rhetoric that the terrorist organization puts out. But because these individuals generally lack formal affiliation with a terrorist organization, they can be difficult to intercept with traditional intelligence techniques. I don't think so. It's easy to find them on the internet. Why are they on the internet at all? Of course, they're advertising. What many have in common, however, is that they tend to write about their plans. Quote, almost all lone wolves leave a memoir, he says. They like to broadcast their intent. Well, you know, like the old boys say, it pays to advertise. In 2011, a far-right terrorist named Anders Breivik committed two heinous acts in Norway, a bombing followed by a shooting that together left 77 people dead. Afterwards, authorities discovered a 1,000-page document highlighting his many gripes, ranging from opposition to Islam to blaming feminism for Europeans' cultural suicide. That document is public record, and Etudo has studied it extensively. What did he mean by that? Wait a minute. Let's go down here for the next paragraph. What did he mean by that? He was pissed off. But he didn't stop there. He collected materials from Al-Qaeda, the Animal Liberation Front, the Ku Klux Klan, and Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Oh, that's a horrible thing to do. More recently, he examined ISIS propaganda, including its glossy magazines. Too bad he doesn't study the terrorists in government, Congress, and the Senate. That's terrorism, too. In fact, that's the most vicious terrorism. When he looked at terrorist propaganda, he found commonality across many different causes. Often, terror proponents are diagnosing a problem of injustice that's close to home. Well, yeah. Linking the issue with the perceived enemy. They're not really enemies. They're just perceived to be enemies. A warning that although members of that group may seem like friends, they are not, he says. Then they try to motivate followers by outlining a course of action. Yeah, well, why would you preach something if you didn't want a course of action? Throw the bums out, man. Drain the swamp. Kick their ass. They almost all have a mantra that says, be on our side. We are winning. Etudo notes that the pattern exists over and over again. So you haven't discovered anything new, so why are you wasting your time? One example might be an extremist animal cruelty organization that bombards followers with statements like, "How can you possibly sleep at night? Every time you look at your pet, you know someone is harming another animal." Well, then, take care of the problem. If you see somebody harming an animal, take care of it. After identifying these patterns, in conjunction with his Virginia Commonwealth University PhD advisor, Victor Yoon, another ace slope, you know what slope is, that's Asian, Etudis set out to create a software program that could comb through these manuscripts quickly. Easily to do it mainly in the West, you see. He's not doing it in the Asian countries. They're all right. He was able to cull examples and distinguish word sequences, negative tones, and implications of a worsening situation and train the software to identify these warning signs. It can review the content of a manuscript in minutes, a task that would take a person days. Wow. They're just looking for key words to show that you're a terrorist or a potential terrorist. His software can autonomously crawl from site to site, enabling it to explore domains that don't have formal web addresses, thereby investigating related propaganda on the dark web. Whoa. Etuda says the program is accurate 87% of the time. Well, that means it's not effective in 13%, right? A goal of this system is to make sense of the radical terrorist propaganda at scale. It can consume massive amounts of information, requiring far too much human effort, he says. Most analytics work involves numbers, but this is unique because it analyzes text. Access to this information in the data analytics world is kind of similar to the Wild Wild West, he says. The project has been 3 years in the works. The past summer, Etuda earned the Virginia Commonwealth University Presidential Research Quest Fund grant of $50,000 to support continued research on automated systems to snitch on your neighbor, because I'm sure because he said a certain word that he's a terrorist. He is now looking for additional funding to extend his project. Well, that figures. Currently, his software can only analyze text that's in English. He would like to make it multilingual and improve its accuracy rate. Quote, "Using these tools should be as simple as using a calendar," he says. "This should be a filtering tool that detects those that may be espousing radical ideology." You get that? Espousing radical ideology. Not that it's terrorist. Not as dangerous. Not that it's saying to kill people, but it's radical. Well, I guess the Republicans would class the Democrat ideology that way, and the Democrats would class the Republican ideology that way, right? He cautions that he doesn't think the police should be knocking on the door of anyone who espouses negative or unusual beliefs. Instead, he hopes that the software will serve as a filter that can allow human experts to investigate the sites that are generating the most common. The recent spate of mass murders in the U.S. drives home the urgency of these efforts. Well, they should be investigating the drug industry, because that's where it's coming from. Plus the Hollywood suggestions. God, I watched a part of a movie the other night in Hollywood. Oh, yeah, it's a, what was it, American Horror Story? Damn, that was the most violent, horrible thing I've seen in a long time. Recent events underscore the need for us to gather as much intelligence as we can on the makeup of these radical ideologies like capitalism and Marxism. Such intelligence is particularly useful for identifying emerging targets and the rationale of terrorist violence. Well, that's bullshit, because once a tactic is discovered and being used against you, you change your tactic. It's as simple as that. You can't keep up with somebody who wants to do something like that. You can't do it, man. Well, that's it for that. I hope you got a lot out of that. And remember, change your tactics every day. Well, here's an interesting article about France grapples with terrorism, the aftermath of the Paris attacks. Well, let's go back a ways. Remember Algeria? Another piece of Africa that was carved out by the capitalistas, mercantile systems of Europe, and they've had problems ever since. So there they are. That went on for a long time, but now it's morphed into other types of terrorism because people don't like to be occupied. If they're an identifiable group of people, they want to be separate. They want to be individual. They want to have their own borders, their own countries in control. And when you occupy them, especially for economic reasons, it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. Yeah, let's see here. 2 years later, memories of the November 13, 2015 terror attacks in Paris are still fresh for many. In the deadliest attack of its kind in France, militants and self-described Islamic State carried out a coordinated assault on the Stade de France, several Parisian establishments, and the Bataclan Concert Hall. More than 100 people were killed and an additional 300 were injured. Surprise, surprise. Then President Francois Hollande, the chief spokesman for capitalism in France, they can call it socialism, but we know who pockets the money, called the attacks an act of war carried out by a terrorist army. Actually, what it was an act of war carried out by a guerrilla army of pissed off people for many reasons. Since then, several other terror attacks have rattled France. A 31-year-old Tunisian man mowed down hundreds of people celebrating Bastille Day in Nice in 2016, ultimately killing 86. Well, I'm surprised. I'm just shocked. It's hard for me to understand. Yeah, it's hard for me to understand. Since then, several terror attacks have rattled France. A 31-year-old Tunisian man mowed down hundreds. Oh, yeah, I saw that. I said that. In October 2017, a 29-year-old man stabbed and killed two young students in Marseille's main railway station. Now, why does this happen, boys and girls? Why does this happen? The corporate states, that's all we have left is a corporate state. Don't call it the United States. Don't call it Britain. Don't call it France. Don't call it anything. Just call it the corporate state. They've got their fingers in everything. And they will suppress any group of people that tries to resist. So that's what they've done in North Africa, in the Arab countries. They want the oil, they take the oil. God damn it, get in our way and we'll kill you. We'll kill your leaders, then we'll kill you, and then we'll bomb the shit out of you, and then you can come up here to Europe and work for cheap labor. You'll be our new niggers. Yeah. Nicholas Heinen, a Middle East expert who was held hostage by ISIS for several months in 2013 and 2014, distinguishes between two types of attacks. The first type, the inspired attack, requires few resources and can be carried out by anyone. Anyone's a potential guerrilla fighter. The second type involves an attack unit, inflicts more damage, and requires logistics. The consecutive defeats in the Middle East have disrupted ISIS, drastically decreasing its operational capability and ability to act in the West. Yeah, but they'll be more created because they need them. The corporates need this so that they can sell more arms and more tanks and more planes and more boats and more ships. They've got to have this. And they stand back and cry, "Oh, there is terrorism out there. I can't understand it." The 2015 Paris attacks highlighted the international threat ISIS posed, prompting countries around the world to respond with increased military pressure on the militant group. Well, yeah, wait a minute. Where did they get their weapons? ISIS don't make weapons. ISIS don't have factories for building weapons. Where'd they get those weapons? Well, they got them out of Wisconsin, they got them out of Ohio, they got them out of several states in the United States where we have big munitions plants. Yeah, they're all over the place. They're out there building landmines by the thousands. Yeah. They got to sell them to somebody, so you got to either start or encourage a terrorist outfit. A terrorist group typically starts with slow growth, slow acquisition of skills right up to the big score. Well, that's until they get their weapons. They can't do much until they get their weapons because they don't manufacture weapons. ISIS' big score in Paris in 2015 led to sustained international military pressure that ultimately led to the militants' collapse in the Middle East, he argued. Bullshit. He just spread them all over the place. And even if ISIS is dead, there'll be another to spring up in its place, because that's what happens when corporates invade countries and occupy and rob the people. They rise up and say, "Fuck you." ISIS territory in Syria and Iraq has been reduced from an estimated 92,664 square miles in 2014 to a few pockets of resistance near Syria's Deir ez-Zor and the Iraqi-Syrian border, according to data from the IHS Conflict Monitor. We got a Conflict Monitor, an intelligence analyst service. Well, you need to get another shitstorm started. We'll call it, what are we going to call it this time? Just rename ISIS. There's no ISIS around, now it's bucket fudge. In the past year, the terrorist organization lost control of cities like Mosul, Raqqa, which had served as logistics centers for preparing attacks on the West. Well, they've achieved their goal, to bleed the West, kill Americans so stupid enough to go over there and fight for the corporations, not the U.S., not to defend the U.S. That's so much horse shit. Having already kicked the ISIS anthill, the international forces engaged in Syria and Iraq should capitalize on those gains, Heenan said. Well, you're a real corporate man. The terrorist organization retreat in the Middle East creates a dispersal effect. Oh, yeah. Dispersal. That doesn't mean spread it out, which could pose a new danger to the region and to the West. Not really, not to the corporations, because they love it. They spread it around that we can make more weapons and have more troops. Look, Trump, they gave the military more money and more planes and more stuff than he even wanted. $900 billion. Costs money to chase lone wolves around. A number of ISIS veterans, Western, Asian, Arab, are on the loose. They're out there, man. They're everywhere. And then there's the Ku Klux Klan, too, man. They're focused on surviving, and they will be looking for a situation in which they are safe. Well, of course, guerrilla fighters are never safe. If they're safe, they're not doing anything. It's like the right wing. They're safe because they're talking. But what are they going to do? If they do anything, they're going to do it wrong. they don't even properly classify all the enemy right. I see that the leader of alt-right was giving an interview with a black guy from the Guardian newspaper. And he was telling the black guy how slavery was good for the black people. Well, even if it were partially true, that ain't the way to do it, man. Heenan identified numerous gray areas known for regional conflicts, which capitalism and corporates need, especially in the Middle East, where surviving militants will attempt to gather. Well, there's plenty of places to hide in the Middle East. People have been hiding in the Middle East ever since they destroyed the caliphate. This is an issue that the West should take care of, he said. Yeah. Build some more weapons. Spread them around. We got to arm all the niggers in Africa, which most of them are armed already. Though diminished in the Middle East, ISIS influence is growing in other regions. Well, why? Well, because they got money and weapons. Where are they getting the money and weapons? Ha 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 ha. The usual suspects. We must understand that these people are aiming at expanding, not falling back. The movement, initiated in 2006 with a few hundred Iraqi Sunni combatants, is currently a global movement. Whoa! It takes money to be a global movement. Where are they getting that money? Where are they getting that money? Soros? No. Probably the right-wing guys, the Koch brothers. Or maybe both of these guys, the left and the right. France correspondent and author Wassim Nasir told the Parisian. Yeah. There you got a raghead talking about all this stuff. Far from Iraq-Syria region, the ultra-radical beliefs, everything's ultra-radical, you know. If you don't agree with the Republican or Democrat Party, you're ultra-radical. And sometimes that's bad, too. Radical beliefs of ISIS find favor in countries including Afghanistan. Well, that's what Alexander the Great found problems in Afghanistan. And we're still fighting in Afghanistan. Costs money to fight. Afghanistan, the Philippines, Bangladesh, Indonesia. Asia is a continent with significant potential for the Islamic State. And policymakers are aware of this. And arms makers are too. Come on, get something going down there. We want to sell you some weapons. France, like other nations, must also remain vigilant of jihadis returning to its territory. Quote, we are facing people who are disappointed rather than repentant. Of course, if they're true revolutionary guerrillas, they're not repentant. I'm not repentant. Are you repentant? Piss on repentant. We must be watchful. We face minors and women who've been trained to handle weapons. That's great. I wish more of our people would trained for that. But they send our kids off to college where they learn all the good things and the peaceful things and how to straighten out the weather. Paris prosecutor Francio Molins warned on the site Francino. Almost 2 years to the day since November 13 attacks, we won, French President Emmanuel Macron declared from Abu Dhabi on November 9th. What did he win? He means the corporations won. The corporations won. God bless the corporations. He promised to eradicate the Islamic State from the Iraqi-Syria region in the coming months. But he won't because they need turmoil to consolidate government. Yeah, I can't have a strong central government without violence. But qualified his statement shortly after, but the fight will be by no means be over. No, because we need to drain the taxpayers of France of every last dime they've got. The only way we can do that is scare the shit out of them. Yeah. Ha! Yeah. Propaganda was spread by the Huff Post in France. You know her, the bitch that married Huffington, who ran for U.S. Senate, what, 25 years ago? And he lost. He spent a fortune running. And then after it, she divorced him and took all the rest of his money. And she's for some place over in Eastern Europe, I think. I forget what country she's from. Now she's a big expert here in the United States. She's a leader here in the United States. We need to bring all these assholes in here to lead us, because we can't find any leaders. Boys and girls, you know what all this sex talk is about. All this, oh my God, there's men out there playing around with women and getting out of line. Oh, that's a new thing. It never happened before. It's shocking. We got to look for these kind of people under every bed. Well, they are under every bed. That's just, all the politicians are into that stuff. Oh, maybe there's a few that are not. But it's almost amusing to see how they can drag your attention away from, you know, like a world war, you know, with North Korea or something, or Russia. We got to get our attention on men that are horny, and they're surprised they found out there's men that are horny. But, I mean, you know, this is an interesting situation. But I hope you realize it's a diversion, and it's, you know, they come up with these diversions all the time. And they milk them and run them and use them, and the press make plenty of money, and they sacrifice a few perverts, and then they go on. But there's just as many perverts after as before. You're not going to get rid of that kind of stuff. You notice how quiet the blacks are about that? You have to talk about sexual promiscuity and all that bullshit. The blacks have really got it going. So they're not talking about that. They haven't exposed Harry Belafonte, who played with my... No, he grabbed my ass one time. No. Ah, it's funny. Don't let yourself get carried away with this bullshit. It's all bullshit. You know, just like the comedians say, it's all bullshit. I can't see how anybody could give a person much credibility that says that... some guy 30 years ago groped her and she didn't say anything till now? Nada. She waited 30 years, 20 years to say anything? I'll bet if a woman groped a man, it wouldn't take that long. In fact, I've been standing out on a street corner boulevard with a sign on my chest, "Please, women, come and grope me." Grope is such a shitty word, grope. It's really bad. They touched, fondled, caressed, but groped? It sounds so horrible. Back when I was in high school, remember in the locker room when the boys used to take a towel and wind it up and flip your ass? Hurt like hell, like a black snake whip, man. They should have some way of getting money out of that. Even though it happened in the 50s. Yeah, man. That's even worse than grope being snapped by a wet towel. How about this Judge Roy Moore, the hypocrite son of a bitch? He's funny. He's funny. He's the Jewish governor, right? Or congressman or whatever he is. No, he's not really Jewish. He's pseudo-Jew. He's neo-Jew. He's the one that put the Jew Ten Commandments up there and defied all the Christian Jews. Can't keep them straight. He fought them all, man, to keep those instructions on the Ten Commandments are not that good. The Hammurabi Code was much more intensive. Yeah. Judge Roy Moore, and I watched the interview with him and Hannity. He was obviously lying through his teeth, but he's conflicted with his crazy religion. He couldn't quite pull it off. You could see through it in that interview very clearly. He did it, that old bastard. And why don't he just say, "Yeah, I did it. Maybe I shouldn't have done it, but I did it." So go fish. Well, the niggers are out killing girls, torturing women, torturing their own wives and girlfriends and killing them in horrible ways. They're running after these small-timers like Moore. And really what the rest of these party guys are doing, they want his job. They want to put another guy in there that's more in tune with what they want to help them make more money. So get out of the way, Moore. God damn, you screwed up. You're out of here. We want to put a homosexual in. You know, we need another homosexual in there. Because it's proven by scientific fact that homosexuals don't grope as much as heterosexuals. So that's, there you go. Well, anyway, what do we care? Anytime a politician goes down the tube, it's fine with us. It's great. I celebrate. Love it. About the nigger boys that were shoplifting over in China. That's how stupid. I mean, you gotta say, be honest. You guys are stupid, thinking they're going to get away with and even wanting to do it. These guys make plenty of money. They get money. White people throw money at them by the bushels. They could buy all the sunglasses they want. But it's just a thing they had to do to show they're smarter than the yin-yang ching-chongs. But they found out they're not smarter than the ching-chong yin-yangs. And I wish it had got 10 years. I wish and pray that it got 10 years. Trump would have declared war on China. Probably would. You can't put those niggers in there. They're our boys. They're our boys. They play football. They play basketball. You can't do that. I think this guy is the guy that Moore's running against. He's a good man. He's never groped anybody in his life. You can tell by looking at him. Let's see what he's got to say.
There are serious allegations that need to be addressed specifically, not just in a general denial and blaming.
Yeah, this clown named Moore that's running against, the guy that's running against Moore is Jones. Guess how he made his reputation? Prosecuting the Ku Klux Klan, man. That got him a lot of publicity and got him into office and so forth. It really helped his political career. So he was out prosecuting your friends and neighbors. The Ku Klux Klan. Now that's the Democrat that they're going to replace Moore with. So what do you get? You're not getting anything new. Well, I was roaming around on the internet and I found an old article today on Terrible Tommy from the Los Angeles Times. Yeah. By Scott Harrison. On Independence Day, 1979, California Knights of the Ku Klux Klan held an anti-immigration rally at the park in San Diego next to the U.S.-Mexican border. Staff writer Ed Sylvester reported in the July 5th, 79 Los Angeles Times. See what nice things they said about me. And my men. The picnickers, sunning themselves and munching hot dogs, hardly looked up when about 20 men in black storm-style suits jumped across the grass carrying black plywood shields and wearing black motorcycle helmets. No, they're cop helmets, you idiot. With face masks down, one leading a Doberman Pinscher. That dog's name was Bear, and he was ultimately shot by us. Oceanside cop for no reason at all, and he was a nigger cop too. The men placed the shields in a circle around a table, producing a portable cooler, and began drinking beer and munching bananas. Well, I think we were munching hamburgers and all kinds of stuff, munching bananas. There are a lot of freaks here today, one of them said. There were. But not us. But for a while, it looked like the first outing of the California Knights of the Ku Klux Klan and their new outfits was going to fizzle. Even the children darting about at the Borderfield State Park rally kept asking reporters what station they were from, all but ignoring the stars of the show. Well, then the revolutionary Communist Party showed up from L.A. Fascist pigs, tool of the American imperialists. Well, that's what I was saying about them. A handful of revolutionary communists and other leftist hecklers, Democrats, cried, "Death to the Klan, death to the Klan." "Commies," the Klansmen cried back, "white power." We should have said corporatists, capitalists. If anyone had expected more than a battle of slogans, San Diego police dimmed the odds. They got involved, the pigs. Remember when they used to be called pigs? There's a famous picture from that get-together with a Mexican cop with his hand in my pocket, all the way down to the bottom, groping me. Checking me for weapons, but totally unlawful the way he was operating. Eight officers at the park entrance relieved the Klansmen of two shotguns and assortment of canes, clubs, sticks, baseball bats that a sergeant called a cache of weapons primarily used to do bodily harm. In fact, at that point, I'd have rather done the bodily harm to the cops than the communists. I hated the cops worse than the communists. Okay. They also searched other vehicles in case anyone opposed to the Klan should try to bring weapons in, the sergeant said. That's bullshit. They never touched the commies. In several appearances we had, they left the commies alone. Believe it or not, Tom Metzger, Grand Dragon of the State Knights of the KKK, was angry at losing the implements with which he said the Klansmen were going to play a baseball game at the border. The rest of the material, he said, was defensive. That's right. We had those weapons to defend us. The Revolutionary Communist Party had declared they were going to kill us. It was in the newspapers. We're going down to the border and kill those goddamn Klansmen. So we wanted something to protect ourselves, so the cops took it away. That's what the cops do. You got to understand, the cops are not your friend. Way back when we were right-wingers, we used to think the cops are our friends. Quote, "That's the country you're living in, white man," Metzger said. "I can't bring my wife and kids anywhere for a white celebration. We try to legally assemble and we get harassed." Metzger had chosen the park because it sits on the Mexican border. Duh. Its southern border, it certainly wasn't the Canadian border. Its southern fence marking the international boundary. Using a loudspeaker, he addressed a political statement to the Mexican people. Yeah, I was up at the border. And it was translated into Spanish, saying the Klan was not their enemy and urging them to stop illegally immigrating into the United States and taking American jobs. Well, I told them more than that. I told them who their real oppressors were, and that we sided with them if they rose up and threw them out. After about an hour, the Klansmen packed up and left the park, saying that they were going to join families for a private celebration at an undisclosed location. Yeah, that's what happened. Well, I'm sending you a picture of that article along with the pictures of I and my men on the border. Incidentally, the Revolutionary Communist Party never got within a mile of us. I wish they had, because we were sort of looking forward to a joust. I never will forget one thing that happened going to that demonstration. We had, I don't know, two or three or four cars, a truck, and the cops stopped us, and when we were stopped, a couple of guys came up to the car, and they saying they were on our side and all that kind of stuff, and they shoved a National Vanguard newspaper in through the window. Say, "Hey, how about that? Great, National Vanguard, Dr. Pierce, all that kind of stuff, fighting the enemy, right?" We said, "Well, hop in. Come on, we need more troops." "Oh, no, we can't do that." "What do you mean you can't do that? All you do is hand out newspapers? Well, we can't get involved." So that was not a very good feeling from the National Alliance members. Do you hear about the new pill? They got a new pill now that you'll swallow, and it will transmit information to a central agency that will tell that you took the pill. is supposed to be to help make sure people take their pills, especially psychotic politicians and gropers, but it has negative implications. If you can understand that, you got to take a pill that tells the big brother that you took a pill. Interesting. A good reason not to take pills. Now, I'm all excited because we got something going to happen, and we got to take some bets on it, because that Chinese 8-ton satellite's coming down, baby. It's got to come down somewhere. And most of those satellites and stuff have never hit a city. But one of these days, imagine that 8-ton satellite hitting New York City or Chicago. Wow. I love democracy. Another SpaceX launch will happen Wednesday night. That's tonight. But no one in the general public, the democracy, can know what's on the rocket. The launch, first reported by Space.com, will be carrying something provided by the defense and aerospace company Northrop Grumman. Whatever that something is, however, is secret. You can't know about it, stupid. The only details anyone has been able to get from the company is that the payload is restricted, and it's for the U.S. government. Yeah, that's different than the people. Naturally, SpaceX is launching a secret satellite has set off a bunch of weird doomsday conspiracy theories. Well, the very fact that it's secret is my conspiracy theory. What we do know basically is just this. The rocket is expected to be launched into low Earth orbit to drop off its cargo, then come back down and land after 10 minutes. Low Earth orbit is where satellites and international space stations live. SpaceX has also issued a sonic boom advisory for 5 Florida counties related to the launch. Wonder what they're going to drop down. They're just going to go up there for a little bit and then drop it back down. It could be anything, boys and girls. It could be anything, because it's secret. Your corporate government doesn't want you to know nothing. Shut up and pay your taxes. This is actually not the first time SpaceX has sent something secret into space for the U.S. government. In May, a Falcon 9 rocket delivered something for the National Reconnaissance Office, according to the company's launch schedule. For a super secret payload, it had a pretty big audience. There was a live webcast of the May launch, which had over 1.7 million views as of Tuesday night. You're being stupid, boys and girls. Of course, the payload was what's secret.
The Falcon 9 rocket on the SpaceX launch pad preparing for liftoff in just about 10 minutes from now at 7:15 a.m. Eastern Time. Good morning and welcome to the live webcast of the NROL 76 mission. I'm John Federspiel, a lead mechanical design engineer here at SpaceX, and today we are launching a classified payload for the National Reconnaissance Office from historic launch pad 39A at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Now, today's mission and final orbit are classified, and as such, we will conclude coverage of the primary mission following separation of the fairing. However, as we will attempt to land and recover the first stage, we'll continue to cover this secondary objective once the primary mission coverage has concluded. Now, for today's mission, we will be attempting another landing of that first stage back at Landing Zone 1, or LZ1 as we colloquially call it. And today's attempt will be in daylight, so we should have some incredible footage to share.
So there you go, boys and girls. A rocket going up that's super classified. that has a low trajectory and is going to drop its payload back to the ground. But you don't know what the fuck it is, do you? And you're not going to know what it is, because that's why you don't live in a democracy. You know, in a democracy, it would be in all the papers. Sorry, boys and girls, that's the way it goes. Hey, I'm going to send you out also a couple of programs on demography. And it was quite interesting. I recorded it the other night, the demographics of the future. And it was quite surprising. I wonder what you think about it. I don't know for sure, but it was pretty eye-revealing. And I'll see you tomorrow on Thursday.